1 Thessalonians, would you join me in turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? While you're turning there, I do want to make a couple quick announcements. Notice that the Bible reading for this week is 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Those are short books, but I thought it'd be great to remind you, since we're doing a study through Thessalonians right now, I invite you to join me and reading through these books. It doesn't take long at all, and it will be an encouragement to you. So that's 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. What a blessing it is to read God's Word, especially together. I do want to remind you here that our missionary spotlight is Raymond and Anita Bradley. They are in Peru and Ecuador, and they're reaching the deaf. And in the bulletin here, it has, there is much to be done to reach the deaf in our area. The jungle is full of small communities. Most of the deaf we meet in those areas work for their families, small farms, but have very little homemade communication skills. We pray the Lord will raise laborers from our small church. We are working with 9 students in our deaf school. 6 of them are full-time. 4 are very eager to learn, and we pray they will serve the Lord with us in church and school in the Lord's timing. We appreciate your prayers for them as well. And that's an encouragement. The Bradley family is reaching a people group that is, quite frankly, an unreached people group. The deaf are often ignored. They're often forgotten. But I'm so grateful for the Bradleys that have a burden. And for years, they have been using sign language and reaching the deaf with the gospel. And their whole prayer letter is just fascinating. We can't fit it all in our bulletin. We just give you a little snapshot. But they talk about the different ones they've led to the Lord over the past few months. It just encourages my heart, even some of the family members that are in that area, to Ms. Anita, because she's from that area, have been able to lead them to Christ. And thank God, that's fruit that will abound to your account. The missions giving, these people that are getting saved, these deaf people, that's what some of the things that just really is so encouraging. Some of these deaf people in the jungle that I'll never see, most likely, on this side of eternity, one day I'll get to see. Because somebody took the gospel like the Bradleys to them. They get saved, and one day in heaven, I'll get to meet them. That's encouraging, is it not? Mark it down, brethren, it's coming. Heaven, it's going to be all eternity. We're going to meet all the souls that were saved. And especially, I think it's going to be very special for churches like this one and many other churches that support missions. And we're going to be able to see all the souls that were saved through the missionaries we support. So praise God. Thank you for praying for them. And I'm going to just have a word of prayer for them right now. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray for Raymond and Anita. We thank you for their faithfulness in Peru and Ecuador. Thank you for these deaf that are in their school right now. Thank you for the 4 that are especially interested and wanting to learn. They're good students. We pray that they would be saved, and we pray they would grow in communicating and be used to take the gospel to the jungles of Peru. Oh, Father, please have mercy upon them. Keep them well. Keep them encouraged. And we just thank you for those little communities, Lord, that we'll never meet those people, most likely, on this side. But, Lord, you know their needs. And we just pray you to continue to bless this family and their son and their co-laborers as they take the gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This morning we began working our way, picking up in verse 7. So you remember that Paul is given a contrast here compared to the wolves in sheep's clothing, those that were causing division. They were deceitful people. They were unclean people. They took advantage of the believers, and they participated in all the things the lost people did in that community. And Paul's like, I don't want any part of that. And you know that, church. You saw my testimony. So we worked our way through the positive things that Paul did. And again, like I told you before, I don't think Paul was necessarily comfortable bragging about himself. He wasn't bragging in a wrong way. I believe he was just stating that, look, you know my testimony. And when Timothy And Silas and I came among you. You received us well. You received the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Your lives were changed. And so just remember that we function and minister in truth. No hidden agendas. No strings attached. We're simply giving you the gospel and letting your life be changed. That's our message as well. And that's what we're desiring to do. But he gave the parental metaphor here of the mother, and specifically a nursing mother. Find that in verse 7 about how he was gentle among them. Gentleness is so important in the ministry. Sometimes we are quick to make harsh judgment. Sometimes we don't take time to pray and think things through. We jump to conclusions. We don't give people the benefit of the doubt. We don't try to work through an issue. We're not gentle. But Paul gave the testimony here that he was gentle among them. He loved them. Verse 8, he was affectionately desirous of them, that closeness. And it says we were willing. That means he delighted. Wasn't a duty. He was thankful to be there. Working night and day, imparting his own soul because they were dear unto him and the team. Verse 9, he says, you'll remember we were working day and night. We didn't want to be chargeable to any of you. We just wanted to be faithful with the gospel. And then he said in verse 10 about how they had basically conducted themselves. He says, you've been a witness, and God is, how we conducted ourselves before you. And then verse 11 is where we'll be tonight. It says here, as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this evening service where we have gathered together in the name of Jesus. And tonight, Lord, we just want to ask you, would you help us? Would you prepare us to serve you this week? Would you take the word and give us courage? Would you take the word and give us hope? Would you help us to anchor ourselves in what you have to say here? And may we grow from it. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, as we trust your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, one of the things I did notice, and I think it's natural to recognize this, is that God has designed the father and mother differently on purpose. Okay? That's by God's design. Now, we're all commanded to love our children, no doubt about it, with the same agape, unconditional love. And we do, by the grace of God, we desire to do that. And I'm a very appreciative of it. You see, and men, we understand this. We think we understand it. We try to understand is that there is a connection that mothers have with their children that we'll never know about. We'll never understand. There is just that God has given unto them by design from that time of birth, from that time that they have with them when there is nursing and feeding and spending time with. There is a closeness there that God has designed that the mother have. And Paul is making reference to that as an illustration that the same type of love that a mother has, he's like, church in Thessalonica, I have that same love for you. What a testimony of this dear brother. And there is a truth that he brings out here, that there was a nearness. There was a desire to be there at any cost. A mother's love is like that. She would be willing to give her life any time for her child. And by the way, to work day and night, boy, being around my house, and you guys can, you all can relate with this at some time or another in your life. But there is a lot of work going on. And I'm not trying to embarrass my wife at all, but the work that goes in and having children, especially small children in the house, when it comes to making sure laundry is done and clean and meals are being prepared or going shopping, and not to mention cleaning going on, and then not to mention educating the children and those things that are going on. I'm thinking, wow, that's night and day work. But the thing about it is, I know I can testify to my wife. You know, she does that out of a heart of love. And I think what Paul is trying to illustrate here is that he is coming to encourage them out of a heart of love. And let me just say this tonight. Everything we do for Jesus Christ Church, let's do out of a heart of love. It'll make all the difference. He goes on to say that in verse 10, I believe as a testimony, he transitions more, I believe, to emphasizing the importance of a dad, of dad's love, a father's love. That he says, look, I also want you to know that I have treated you as a father would his children. And it changes up a little different. Typically, now we know that, again, it's a full-time job for both the husband and wife. But God has designed the man in such a way where he is to be the provider of his home. That he is to strive to be the protector of his home. He is the one to bring a stability in the sense of instruction and charge that is coupled together with his wife and leading the children. He is in that way. And Paul's going to bring out that aspect, too, of how he demonstrated his ministry or conducted his ministry with the Thessalonians. Notice those three ways that he describes. Would you look there at the text? He says, number one, you know how we had a good testimony before you in verse 10. But then he says, and you also know, number one, if you're taking notes, there's three points here tonight. Number one, how we exhorted. That word exhorted is very interesting. It's the Greek word parakletos. Does anybody want to take a guess of who is also given the title parakletos in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. The word, it simply means to come alongside. And he's basically saying to the Thessalonians here, I came alongside you. I came alongside you specifically for the purpose of instruction, for encouragement, and for warning. The same thing the Holy Spirit does is what Paul did with them. And that's what many times a spiritual leader of his home will do and should do. There should be that step of what I would say this sixth point. I had 5 points this morning. If I had one to name this one, it would be this: fortitude. Paul was there to give fortitude that a father will typically and should strive to give to his children. And there's a balance, right? My mom could give me some tender love and care that my dad did not. And you know, sometimes you can differ with personalities and whatnot, but I'm telling you, it was very obvious in the Jennings household who I would go to when I was in trouble. And it would be my mom, of course, to see if I could just talk with her first, and then we could go talk to dad. The words I did not like to hear is, you know, we're going to have to talk to your father, right? Yeah, I'm afraid that was going to come. We're going to have to talk to your dad about it. Or either this, have you told your dad yet? But anyway, I say all that to say this. Sometimes it's just because of the different roles and the way he's designed us. But there is a fortitude there that dads should have coming alongside their sons and daughters. And that's just to come alongside to give encouragement, putting the arm around, saying we're going to get through this, and this is how you can do this, and this is how we can learn from this. That's what Paul did with these people. He sat in their homes. He sat in their living rooms. He worked hard all day and would go and do it in the night. And he didn't think twice about it. He wanted to come alongside and exhort them. That's what Paul did. Now, this is somebody that was not there. The wolves in sheep's clothing were not there. They were not in the homes late at night. They were not there when the loved one passed away. He was not there. The wolf in sheep's clothing was not there when there was strain on the marriage and the husband and wife were not getting along and it was about to split and different things going on. I want to tell you, the false teachers were not there. But Paul says, I came alongside you and encouraged you. But then secondly, not only did he exhort, but notice what he said. Not only that I exhorted, but he says, and I comforted. And that's a different word. These are related, and they're participles that are all related of one main verb. But notice what he says here, I comforted. That's the word paramethomai, which means to calm and console. To calm them. He says, you remember I was that one that told you, look, don't worry, God's going to help you through this. God's going to give you the strength you need. God's going to give you the wisdom that you need. And I'm here to even say that tonight to each of us, then to each of you, that whatever you're facing right now, trust God to give you the wisdom to walk through it. To give you the grace to just know God is near. That's the message that he had for them. It was to calm them. It was to help them to be more settled. In fact, it's interesting. This same word is used in John chapter 11, verses 19 and 31. And it's in the context, it was when Jesus, Lazarus had died. And the Jews that were gathered together were all grieving. And the word that is used in that text, it says the Jews came to Mary and Martha, and it says they comforted them. And it's the same Greek word. There was a heaviness in their heart. There was a heaviness in their life. And Paul and the team there, Silas and Timothy, were there to give comfort. You know, I think upon these, and I think upon, again, parenting. This is constantly needed. With our children, coming alongside, yes, instructing, yes, warning, but also giving comfort that it's going to be okay. You know, we ought to do that as church members. You know, there's some people, perhaps even tonight, that just need some encouragement. They need not only someone to come alongside them, but they need a consoling word, a comforting word. And that's what Paul and the team had. But then thirdly, notice with me, he not only exhorted and comforted, but notice what the word says here, and charged every one of you. Now that word, as again, a paternal metaphor, is the idea of a dad instructing his son or daughter. In fact, I wish I had that verse. Brother Mark, what was that verse you mentioned this morning? Was it Proverbs 23 about the dad telling his son to watch him? Let's look and see real quick. Y'all want to go with me? First one there gets a prize. Just kidding. But if you can get there. Proverbs, is it Proverbs 23? Verse 26. Chapter 23, verse 26. Notice what it says. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Going back to example, remember, example is essential. And when we give instruction, what we should be doing, and the Lord knows, my children are here tonight and they could testify, Dad is not always completely consistent. But our goal is to be consistent. And it's to say this, son, daughter, I want you to do this. Because it will help you It will help you and it'll keep from hurting you. But at the same time, I need to be saying, and watch Daddy. Watch Mommy. Watch us as we strive to serve the Lord. And of course, we need to be merciful with each other because we're going to fall short. But there is that element of charge that He gave to them, that admonishing. And I believe that every one of us, as a father doth his children, need to do this with one another. It's the idea of exhorting each other daily. There is a charge, an instruction that is given. That's when I stand here at this pulpit and I understand that when I give you a charge from God's Word, I'm praying that what is taking place is what we see in verse 12. Why would he, as a father would towards his children, why would he exhort, comfort, and charge? It tells us in verse 12. That word "that" means "so that." It says, "that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his eternal kingdom," his kingdom and glory. Now, let me tell you here, I do not believe that last phrase of verse 12 is talking about salvation. I believe that it is the same context as 1 Peter, when Peter talks about, "he who hath called you to be holy, be ye holy." The call there is that we would represent the Lord God Almighty here on this earth. We are kingdom bearers. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and we are to constantly be exhorting one another, comforting one another, charging one another in the sense of admonishing, so that we would walk worthy of God. He has called us unto His kingdom and glory. And I believe that if we will stay faithful, we will see the results in eternity. And we'll even see some now. Some results we won't see until we get to heaven. I think that's just simply okay and should be okay for us. There are many things that we will not see until we get to the other side. So let me mention this tonight in our closing statement here. Understand that when we walk worthy of God, it is simply we are doing things that are becoming and fitting for a Christian to do. So as we think upon that, let's think upon walking with God. He talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, walking worthy of your calling, dear children of God. Colossians 1:10 also talks about walking worthy of God. Now get it, it's not in order to be saved. If you're saved tonight, you're saved, and say amen. Praise God you're saved, but please, let's go out this week. We got the middle of November, let's go out here and be a light to a dark world. Let's walk worthy of our God. Let's even follow Paul's steps and follow in his example, but also be that way to each other. I want to challenge you with this at the end of our message. Would you pray about someone this week that you could come alongside? Would you pray about someone that you can come alongside to encourage? And would you pray possibly for someone that you could even come by to console or comfort that's going through a difficult time? I believe God's got some people for us to do that. And then thirdly, even someone that we can come and encourage with some instruction. Hey, here's some things that I believe will help you walk with God and be fitting as a believer in your testimony. Let's do that. Let's simply let God use us to love people around us as a mother does her children, a nursing mother, and let's love people as a father would love his children and instruct them. That is what we see in that passage. May the Lord help us. Let's pray.